You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome
to Theater Geeks Anonymous,
the podcast about Broadway flops, scandals, and new work.
I'm your host, Ebony Vines.
And I'm your host, Pamela Shandro.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the Theater Geeks Anonymous podcast
on the Broadway Podcast Network and all your favorite podcast listening apps.
Thank you.
I just took a drink of water. You pressed record right as I took a big drink of water. Welcome.
What's up, Theater Geeks?
It's up.
It's another regular episode we're going to do.
Doing it.
We are doing it. This one. Oh, bless. Both shows were from the 70s because yours was 71.
Yes, 71. 2x2 was in 71.
Okay. And this one is from 1976.
Okay.
So I was trying to, when we were choosing shows, I was like, what's a theme? So it was just like the year, really, yeah. Because I wouldn't say that this has any other pieces of it that sort of coincide with 2x2, but it's just the same year. Yeah.
Sure. Worse.
So I'm doing this week's episode. This is Ebony. I'm going to say that because sometimes people can't tell our voices apart.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm going to say that.
Maybe next time I'll just be like, this is Ebony. And I'll just talk like you. Think I could get away with it? Not today, because my voice is like 3 octaves lower than it normally. Yes. I've got my very Kathleen Turner voice today because of allergies and being sick. Boo.
It's been a time.
It has been.
I know. Y'all know this by now, but Pamela and I are not summer people. Not even a little bit.
Not even the tiniest iota.
She just won't go away. And we're done with her. We've already started planning our apple picking trip. We're done with summer.
So done. I want to start wearing sweaters and pants and my boots and a scarf.
No, I have so many scarves. I have a whole wall just full of scarves.
Love it.
I really do.
I've got a box. I've got my box that I need to take out, but I can't, because if I do, and this has happened in lots of previous years, if I change over my closet now, mm-hmm. we will just continue to have hot weather for the next, I don't even know how many months.
No.
I hate it.
I do too.
But today, it's really pretty. Like, we were recording 2x2 and it like had this big burst of thunder.
Yeah.
And then I looked out the window and it's just pouring rain. Although I think it's stopped now. But like, it's also one of those days, like a sepia day, where the colors look even brighter because the sky is so like dead, like yellowish.
Overcast.
Mm-hmm. Overcast, exactly. And so it looks like it's like one of those Technicolor days. Love it.
Yeah, it's my screen doesn't always get this wet, but it's like soaked right now, so I can hardly see. I just can kind of see a little, it's like blurry. But I do like a rainy day, except I do now, I realize, but that's because I don't have to commute to work anymore.
Nice.
I hated it when I had to commute every day for an hour both ways.
Yeah.
And then I have to deal with being wet and all of that. Then I hate it. Like, I want nothing to do with it then. But if I'm just home, bring it on. I have my little candle. No. I particularly like when it's cold. It's not cold right now.
Cold and rainy
is my preference, because then I can have my candle. I can have my hot cup of tea.
Wrap yourself in a little blanket.
That's right. That's what I enjoy.
This, yeah, me like, too.
I don't love this like humid, hot rain because I can't do my stuff.
Humid.
I know.
I feel like the air is so thick that I'm surprised the water even hit the ground.
It didn't just evaporate.
Yeah, it didn't just like get stuck in the air that is already so humid and thick and wet. Ugh, hate it.
Don't like it. Don't like it at all.
The worst. My mom, it was like, we had a couple of days where there was, well, a few days, there was a heat advisory here in New York City.
Yeah.
And my mom, I think, texted me on maybe Wednesday morning to do a check-in. And she goes, oh, it's in the 60s today. And I was like, that must be so nice for you. Oh, the 60s.
I know. Meanwhile, it's like 90 here.
Yeah, we've got hurricane humidity happening right now. Like no storm, but just the humid, horrible parts of a hurricane.
Well, hurricanes are horrible. So I'm glad we don't have that.
Yes, that is terrible. No, that sounded really awful. And I do feel terrible for the people that are like actually in hurricane world right now in Florida.
Because the one that's like near us that keeps threatening us is Lee, Hurricane Lee.
Yeah. So that one's still on her way.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw the headline about it. I didn't read the actual story. So that one, I think we've still got probably to look forward to her later on, but it does look like it's actually going to be making its way up the Northeast coast.
Okay.
Where the hurricane that just happened in Florida stayed Florida, like Southern Florida. And it didn't even make it up like the east side of the coast there. I think it was just all south. So that's good. Mm-hmm. And then there was another hurricane that was happening where in California, like a couple weeks ago.
Well, they had a double whammy because they had
an earthquake too.
Yes.
It was a earthquake.
It was nuts. Absolutely
totally
nuts.
Guys, it's climate change.
Yeah.
Which looks very similar to the apocalypse. And if we don't do something now, we might as well just bring on the end of the world as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm saying that flippantly, but it actually does. Like, I'm serious about that.
Yeah, no, it's true.
It's true.
It's true.
Yikes, yikes, yikes.
On that very happy note, we'll start talking about a story that's like very waterlogged. And so the musical that I'm doing is Home Sweet Homer.
Ew. I see the title over and over again when we go through the list of musicals, but I really have no idea what, other than like maybe it's Odysseus.
Yes, correct.
Okay,
yes.
There you go.
It is an adaptation of the Odyssey.
All right.
A 1976 musical. It's an adaptation of the Odyssey. And the story focuses predominantly on Odysseus trying to come back home and his wife Penelope waiting for him. I will warn you all from the beginning. It's like, I was unable to find a full synopsis, so I will not be giving that here. But it was interesting kind of going when I was doing the research on this and seeing people like on YouTube, because there's also not a cast recording. There's just like a couple of songs you can find on YouTube that were recorded from the soundboard, when the show did its tour. And then, so you can listen to those. Some are clearer than others.
Okay.
Of course. And I actually didn't hate the two songs I listened to. Like, I didn't hate them. And maybe that's because the lead actress, Joan Dinaire, her singing voice is beautiful.
Awesome.
And one of the songs was just her singing, and her voice is really, really gorgeous. She first came to Broadway being in Man of La Mancha.
Oh, as Dulcinea?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, that tells me everything I need to know about the kind of voice she has.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. and then the other song is with Yul Brynner, and I forget the other actor's name, but we'll go through all the actors later on when I start talking more about the show. Okay, so I want to tell you my resources. One of them is a hysterical title, but it was extremely helpful. And it's called Uncle John's Actual and Factual Bathroom Reader. It was a wonderful resource, and wow. I highly recommend.
All right, I love it.
And then I also used Wikipedia, the Book of Broadway, Debates, Disputes, and Disagreements by Peter Felicia, the New York Times article, After a Year at Sea, Homer Dies Quickly by Lewis Calta from January 8th, 1976, and also Not Since Carrie. There's another book that I'll reference in the course of my going through what happened and telling you all that story as well, but I will reference that at that point. All right, so Home Sweet Homer is a musical adaptation of Homer's The Odyssey. The musical was originally conceived by Eric Segal, who wrote the original book and lyrics, and the music was done by Mitch Lee. Mitch Lee did Man of La Mancha and Kismet, which were his two hits.
Great.
He did a series of flops after that.
Okay.
So this musical was sort of meant to be like a comeback for Mitch and also Yule, because Yule, everyone just knew him from The King and I, and that was the show that he did, and that was the show that he just did over and over, and he was looking to have something else to bring him back to Broadway. Eric Segal was a linguistics professor specializing in Greek and Latin literature at Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. He was also,
Sorry, that was like a trifecta right there.
I know. I was like, well, geez, like, can I have Stanford for 100? I don't know. And he was the author of the best-selling novel Love Story, for which he also adapted the screenplay. I have seen Love Story several times. I like that movie. Don't come for me. I don't care what you say. Anyway. And it was like one of my mom, it was like one of the things my mother introduced me to. And I will just say to you all, the only reason I'm literally here is because my mother introduced me to lots of things. Mm. And Love Story is one of them. The Odyssey musical, I said that part already, was Yul Brynner. He wanted something as big and I guess sort of rich as he felt like playing the King of Siam was. Mm. And so he, of course, played Odysseus in this musical. The musical was about Odysseus's 10-year journey back to his wife Penelope after the Trojan War. And although the musical felt like a spoof, it was meant to be a sincere attempt at a musical about the Odyssey, a la Les Miserables and Ragtime, which were both successors of this show. The musical titled Odyssey at this time had a fairly modest production with a small cast and began a national tour on December 9th of 1974 at the Hanna Theater in Cleveland, Ohio, where it opened to favorable reviews. After such a good beginning, Yul Brynner said that he thought the show would run for 2 years on Broadway. This was followed by a run at the Kennedy Center and many other theaters for a year-long run across the country to try out the material.
Wow.
So the tour went as follows. As I said, it was the Hanna Theater in Cleveland, Ohio. That went from December 9th of 74 to the 14th of 74. Then the Kennedy Center Opera in D.C. That went from December 19th to January 25th of 1975. Then they were in the Erlanger Theater in Philadelphia, and that went from January 28th of 75 to February 22nd of 75. They had only one preview in opening week. Then they went to the Royal Alexandra Theater in Toronto, Canada, and that went from February 25th of 75 to March 22nd of 75. Then they were at the Bushnell Theater in Hartford, Connecticut, that went from March 24th to March 29th of 75. And then the Boston Colonial Theater, which a lot of shows go to now because it had a massive renovation a few years back. So that went from March 31st of 75 to April 26th of 75. And I have a little note about this particular set of performances. The marquee at the Colonial Theater left off Joan Dener, who was playing Penelope. It left her name off the marquee.
Oh,
And because it was stipulated in her contract that her name always be on the marquee, she requested that it be cloaked in black. This caused some of the theater goers to believe that Yul Brynner had died.
Oh!
Oh, bless.
Why didn't they just put her name? Isn't that easier than cloaking it in black? I don't understand.
Neither do I. But this is what they chose to do. And for the record, I'm actually not surprised after doing research on this show. I mean, yeah. Several things don't make sense. Oh, and this is one of them. So this is your foreshadowing on things not making sense.
All right. I can't wait.
And then they went to the Music Hall in Houston, Texas. That was from April 29th to May 4th of 75. Ari Crown Theater in Chicago, May 14th to May 25th of 75. And then the Amundsen Theater in L.A. And that went from June 10th of 75 to August 23rd of 75. As the tour traveled, large portions of it were cut and changed. Like, for example, two acts were condensed into one.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And they also changed the title from Odyssey to Home Sweet Homer.
Okay.
But even with these cuts, somehow the show also seemed to get bigger and more expensive. The original production was capitalized at $478,000. And of course, that's in like 1975 money. And I did not allocate for what it would be now. But although the reviews in Ohio were good, they began to deteriorate as the changes were made. During the tour, the original book writer, Eric Segal, left the production and asked his name and material be removed from the musical. These are quotes that I'm going to recite from the New York Times article that I mentioned at the top of the episode. When we got to California, Mr. Marr added, Eric felt he did not want to work on the show anymore. He felt there was a way of making script improvements. Eric, who was attacked violently by the critics, chose to withdraw. But Gene Walsh, general manager of the musical, said the show was closed down at one point while the matter of script changes was being arbitrated. Mr. Segal contended that revisions had been made without his permission, thereby abrogating his contract with the producers. A settlement was reached under which Mr. Segal's name was removed from the credits. He retains a 3% to 4% interest in the show, said director Albert Marr. Mr. Segal, believed to be visiting in Tel Aviv at the time of this article, was replaced as co-author of the musical's book by Roland Kibbe and by Charles Burr and Foreman Brown as the lyricists. The currently credited writers are book by Roland Kibbe and Albert Marr, lyrics by Charles Burr and Foreman Brown, and music by Mitch Lee. So if you go anywhere and look for Home Sweet Homer, that's what you mostly see. Mm-hmm. And actually, if you go to Eric Segal's Wikipedia, there's no mention of Home Sweet Homer.
Wow.
Yeah. Marr rewrote much of the book and lyrics and then fired the choreographer, Billy Wilson, and took over his duties as well. Not only were delays caused by the rewrites, but the two lead actors, Yul Brynner and Joan Dener, frequently missed performances due to an ongoing illness they both attributed to food poisoning.
Oh, yikes.
This is also from the New York Times article. In April of 1975, the two together with Dener's husband and Marr and Brynner's wife, Jacqueline, filed a $7.5 million lawsuit against Trader Vic's in Manhattan, alleging short ribs they ate there shortly before the start of the tour were poisonous and had left them ill, weak, and infirm.
Oh my gosh. Do you know the outcome of that case?
They didn't win that case. Yeah, they didn't. They didn't win. They didn't win. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. So although the material left a lot to be desired, many critics did notice how hard the cast was working to make the musical playable and entertaining. In the Complete Book of Broadway Musicals from the 1970s by Dan Deeds, he states that Yul brought his usual charisma to the part of Odysseus. He was also a big draw to the show and why the cast played to sold-out crowds on their tour. Not only was it obvious how hard Yul Brynner was working on the stage, but it was obvious that the rest of the cast was as well. But they couldn't beat the poor material they had to work with. Because of this, the show became a more pompous and pageant-like retelling of the Odyssey. He also stated, and by he, I mean Dan Deeds, also stated that there was the addition of Odysseus in a myriad of costumes so he could observe what was happening back home with his wife, because she was being proposed to by so many different people because everyone thought Odysseus had perished.
Right.
Dan called this a tiresome bit of business.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was
necessary.
Not necessary.
He wasn't there.
The whole point of the story is to tell us, show us how he got home. Like, right. Why also put in the addition of, like, him pretending to be other people to, like, right. see what's going on? I don't know. And I'm sure that added to the camp factor, even though they totally. Were not trying to do camp. Like, by adding that, it just did, yeah. you know?
It's like, let me put on glasses this time. Now let me wear a fake mustache. Now let me put this hat on my head. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
So that didn't help the pompous pageant-like feeling of the show. An unhappy Brenner sued to terminate his contract in August of 1975, but backed down when he was threatened with a $1 million countersuit.
It sounds like he was just trying to find ways to get free money. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, I stubbed my toe. I'm going to sue the maker of this bed frame. You know, it's like.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think about it like that. You're right. That is what it feels like. It's just like, this is the most litigious musical.
Yeah. I wonder if it is the most litigious. We're going to have to go back through our books and like.
Right, and find out if it is.
There's definitely been some Sue Happy producers out
yeah.
there. But, huh.
But just like the actors are suing the producers. Yeah. The writers are suing each other. Like, they're suing restaurants. I mean, yeah. come on. Like, it's crazy. Just absolute madness. Also, because Seagal's work had not been completely struck from the musical, he sued again in the fall of 1975. And the show did close for a brief period of time. So he sued to have the show shut down until it took out. Because when he sued, he wanted yeah. his name off and everything he wrote gone. Right?
Wow. See, like, I didn't understand fully. That was the case. Like have your name taken away. That's one thing, but like every single thing he had any part in. Wow.
He wanted it all gone. And so the show did close for a brief period of time, but like right now you're looking at, right. If Yule just sued for termination of contract in August of 75. And then in the fall of 75, which we're getting very close to the Broadway opening at this point, like extremely close, Eric is also suing again. I mean, it's just like, how do you function when right. you're constantly in court?
Yeah.
You know, and you're spending so much money on legal fees to be defended. And it's
well, like, it's almost like it would have been better for you to just shut down everything.
Right.
It would have cost you less money.
Right.
And like, if you're looking at your star and draw, mm-hmm. because he had a name at that point, people knew who Yul Brynner were.
Right. And that's your why star, the tickets were selling $4 million worth of right? tickets. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh. Yeah. But your star and the person that helped write your script don't want anything to do with you anymore. Mm. Like, well, let's take a step back and look at why that is.
Yeah.
Casey.
Yeah.
What was the reason behind Peter Seagal not wanting a part of it again?
Eric Seagal?
Oh, Eric. Seagal, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's because, like I said, the critics killed him. Like he was terribly abused by the critics.
And nobody else, but it was just him.
I doubt it was just him, but
he felt it the most.
Right, because he wrote the book and lyrics and then Mitch yeah. just did the music. And so he just felt destroyed by them. Yeah. And so, you know, by the time he was wanting to leave, well, that was LA. So that was like pretty close to the end of the tour. Mm-hmm. But it's like, and then his work wasn't taken out and they weren't able to, I mean, you're basically at that point, if he wants everything gone, you're having to write an entirely new musical. And
yeah, like starting from scratch.
Right. And so you're talking, you're going to have to wait another several years because it takes many years to write a musical. So
I wonder when in that tour things started to go south.
It was right after the Ohio production. So the Ohio production at the beginning had good reviews.
Yeah.
And then immediately after, everywhere else, they were like panned. It says mixed. So there were some people who were kinder, but like overall, the reviews were pretty terrible. But also because it was selling so well because of Yule, right? Mm-hmm. So like I said, they were performing to sold out audiences. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll read this down the line, but like Yule stated that they were getting a lot of standing ovations is because of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
there have been a lot of really bad plays and movies that have had a name in them that people go and see, but that are really objectively terrible to watch.
And like I said, like the two songs I listened to, I didn't hate them. Like I didn't think they were so terrible, but.
Well, to be honest, I mean, he wrote Kismet and also
Man of La Mancha.
I mean, like those both are shows with very powerful messages. The lyrics and book are really, really strong.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine that it's hard for me to wrap my head around the fact that it wouldn't be a really well-written show.
At least for the music parts, because a lot of the things I read when they talked about the book, it felt very sort of episodic and it didn't feel like it was gelling very well.
Okay.
And it felt like sort of disparate and scattered and kind of all over the place.
Okay.
And I think those were a lot of the reviews, you know, and I mean, it's not like Eric's not a good writer or a seasoned writer, but writing a musical is so different from writing a book or doing any sort of like educational or, you know, journalistic work. It's so different.
Yes.
And it's very, very hard to do. And so I think, you know, he must have struggled with trying to, I mean, this is the only, play or musical that I saw that he had written. So, you know, he did write the screenplay for Love Story, which is a very good screenplay, but it's just not the same as a play or a musical. Right. It's not
telling
the same.
A story is hard, but also like you look at the source material, which is a very, very long book.
Long. So
he
big.
Told that story over thousands of pages. Like that's it's a difficult thing to condense into a 90-minute show.
Right. So before coming to Broadway, Home Sweet Homer grossed over $4 million in a total of 348 performances. Nevertheless, it arrived here with a burdensome deficit of about $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
In November of 75, the scheduled Broadway run was canceled until Yul Brynner reminded the producers that his contract stated that the show had to play in New York at least once.
They should have just rented a tiny little theater for a weekend.
I know. I know. Also, due to the illnesses of the lead actors, the numerous lawsuits, and the rewrites, opening postponements resulted in the cancellation of about $250,000 worth of theater group tickets. The musical was an extravagant production retitled Home Sweet Homer, began previews on December 26th of 75 with an official opening at the Sunday matinee on January 4th of 1976 at the Palace Theater.
The worst timing.
I know.
I mean, the previews weren't because like that. Well, no, it's all post-Christmas. Right.
Like literally the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
It's not great.
I wonder if that was by design. But I also wonder, too, if they weren't able to get a really good deal on the theater because of the timing.
Right. Like you're able to get a spot. And I also think like. How much more money would they have had to spend if they're already in a deficit, if they're having to wait till like March or April to open?
Yeah, it's true.
So, you know, it's kind of like do or die. You know, you don't really have much choice because you've had to postpone for so long. And had they opened, you know, like in the summer, it might have been a little bit better for them. They might have lasted a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Mitch Lee had a reputation for getting rid of song lists in the programs of his shows. He did this with Man of La Mancha and An April Spring, just to name a couple shows he did this with. But for the New York premiere, he added songs. So there ended up being two different programs with two different song lists for the New York opening. I mean, this whole thing is also just like a exercise in like not being able to make decisions. You know, yeah. It's just like people.
Or the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing.
It doesn't. We're suing because we want to leave now. We're suing because you said we're going to New York and now we're not. Mm-hmm. Just like somebody make some strong choices.
Well, and the go. Thing is, like once court is brought into the mix, you can't start making decisions. Like you just can't. You're stuck. You're stuck because you are, this thing is hanging over your head. Then certain decisions can't be made, but then other decisions, if they are made, could lead to more suing. And it's just like, oh, for crying out loud.
Such a mess. Absolute mess. The producers didn't even wait for reviews. So they announced the show's closure right after the curtain came down on Sunday, January 4th of 1976. The show closed with 11 previews and one performance at the Palace Theater. So Yul got his one performance in New York, right?
Wow, yep. Jeez.
More from the New York Times. Although the out-of-town notices were poor, Roger L. Stevens of Kennedy Center Productions Incorporated, sponsor of the venture, whose producing credits numbered more than 100, at the time of this article said, I personally liked the material. There were outstanding songs in it, but I've never found a way how you can beat the New York critics. This does not discourage me at all. You can't expect everything to work well. You've got to take the bad with the good. That's the way life is. Okay. Mister, right?
I like that.
I know he's yeah. right. Like life is hard. It's life. What are you going to do?
Not everything's going to work in your favor.
That's right. Mr. Brenner said Home Sweet Homer had an honorable career, adding over 85% of our audiences gave us standing ovations. There must have been something that was good about it. If there hadn't been, we wouldn't have continued.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I don't know, most of you might know this about Yul, but unfortunately, because he did pass of cancer, he never got his wish of being in another successful Broadway show and played the King of Siam for the rest of his life. But his last tour was produced and directed by Mitch Lee.
Okay.
Home Sweet Homer, as I stated before, never really had a cast recording. So there's just, like I said, floating around sort of these recordings from the
mixing board.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's Home Sweet Homer.
Interesting.
There have been a few sort of like concerts or stage readings, not a ton of them
mm-hmm.
of the show. And you can search those and check those out. I recommend going on YouTube and like trying to hear the songs. Like literally all you have to do, if you go on Google, just Google Home Sweet Homer musicals and click on videos.
Okay.
And immediately like a bunch of the songs will pop up from YouTube.
Nice.
So that's how you can find it if you want to listen to any of it. And like I said, like I don't think it's terrible. I mean, like I stated, Mitch had several flops. Like mm-hmm. I mentioned one of them in here is the April one was also a flop. And Yul did have like two other tries at shows that were not The King and I.
Okay.
That did not succeed. So, you know.
Yeah. I think it's very telling that the time that Yul Brynner was in this business
mm-hmm.
and also the fact that he is ethnically not white
mm-hmm.
is kind of probably what put him in that box.
Yeah.
Which is really sad.
It is.
And gotta be super frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's like I watched the Rita Moreno documentary and all that she went through, and like also having to do like brown face. And it's just like, you know, and obviously she was around when he was, you know, and so it was a time where, you know, and there's a lot of controversy around him playing the King of Siam because it's also basically like a version of brown face, you know, and it's just like
yellow face.
Yeah. And so I just, you know, they were, I mean, Rita's with us still now. And so we get to see her play all types of parts, and she's just consistently freaking delightful. But you know, Yule didn't last that long because of cancer, you know? And so we didn't get a chance to see him into his like 80s and see if like he would be able to play more parts that were created for, you know, someone like him. And I don't know. It just, like, you're right. It's just kind of sad. But at the same time, like, he had one of his quotes from that same article. Like, he was so positive. You know, he just kept saying, like, I'm not deterred. Like, I'm still hopeful that, like, something can happen, you know. And I just love it when people are like that, when people, you know, and it didn't work out for him, but that, like, he still had this hope and he still had this love for theater so much, you know, and he just really loved doing the work, it seemed. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, that whole thing with the being sick, as an aside, like, I don't know what was going on there. I really don't. There's no way for me to be able to tell you, like, if they actually got sick from the food at that restaurant or if something entirely different was going on. But it was like, I mean, it was very, very messy. And I do think they got blinded by the fact that they had a huge star in the lead. And, you know,
that they had early success.
Yeah. But that was like with literally just one
city.
One city. And then they were just panned consistently, you know, and we talk a lot on this podcast about tryouts. Tryouts are a big thing for us because we notice that so often when people don't do tryouts at all, like not even having some sort of off-Broadway run, like not even having some place to like work out the material, it's consistently seems like the shows don't do well because they've had no time to marinate, to acclimate, to like having a real audience that can give you real feedback because they haven't been sitting with the material for years like you have. And in this case, they had all of that, but they kept ignoring it. And so,
or I mean, you get to a certain point where you're like, is it better that we keep changing things or should we just start over? And I mean, think when Eric Segal left, they had that kind of perfect built-in opportunity to start from scratch. It is a great idea. I mean, like, we have told the mythos of Odysseus and the sirens and Penelope, you know, over and over again, because it is a good story.
Yeah. Speaking of, the Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival right now is doing a one woman musical called Penelope. That's just about Penelope's perspective.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Me too. And so I'm going to try and see that next weekend. So
nice.
When we do our next intermission sode, if I'm able to go, I'll let you all know how that was. But
yeah, because like she's the interesting one.
Right.
He was left alone for decades.
Yes.
I don't remember how long it was, but it was a very long time.
Very long time.
Left alone to raise her son all alone. To a guy that, like, who knows, he could have found another wife and stayed there, or he's dead or whatever. And through the course of her decades of life without Odysseus, she is challenged, she is coerced, she is wooed, and then she decides, okay, fine, you know what, I'll marry the next guy that can do the exact same thing that my own husband could do. If you can get an arrow through all of these axe heads, fine. And then her husband ends up doing it because he makes his way. Like, it's
Yeah.
Cool and cute. And it's a true love story. Although, why would you leave your wife for that long? But that's cool. Whatever.
I mean, it was war.
It was war. It started out that way. Yeah. And I guess, I mean, and that is the odyssey of it, right? He tried to get home, but he just kept getting sidetracked.
Yeah.
And I suppose if your whole crew turns into pigs, that's a problem.
That's a problem. Makes it harder. Makes you know? A little harder. It's a little plot twist there.
Right?
Yeah.
I remember seeing the story of the Odyssey first on Wishbone. Do you remember Wishbone on PBS with the Jack Russell Terrier? Mm-hmm. That's when
it's mentioned also in some of the stuff I read, like the Wishbone episode is mentioned.
Oh, it's a really good episode. I mean, I remember it, and that was however many decades ago. But yeah, that was the first time I like really understood the full scope of the Odyssey. Because I, you know, you always hear about, you hear about the sirens, you hear about, you know, putting the arrow through the axe heads, but you don't like really put it together with it being the same story of the same person.
Right.
And then it's neat.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. So, you know, for this wrap up, I just want to say, you know, Google Home Sweet Homer, listen to a couple of the songs. The one with Yul Brynner is in the best shape. So I'd encourage that one. The one with Joan is not in great shape, but you can still hear how beautiful her voice is. So
yeah,
it's still worth the listen. But it is quite grainy. So, you know, just know that. But, you know, I mean, we do this show so everybody gives things they've never heard of like a chance. And like, I'm probably not going to listen to the show incessantly. Like, it's not going to go on my top five or whatever, but maybe somebody, one of you all, is going to really like it. And maybe you're going to want to try to find the score. And maybe you're going to see like where the holes are and the revisions need to be. And like, maybe you'll make something really fun and cool out of it. And there have been several other, you know, people who've tried to make Odyssey musicals, and it's not for the faint of heart, because it's such a huge story. But
it's such,
you know,
a huge undertaking. Yeah,
it is valiant effort. And two, I would say, like, to hire somebody who is a Greek, you know, linguistics professor, like, that was a smart move, I feel.
Totally. Totally.
You know, so I felt like I was like, well, that was smart to have somebody who knows the material very well. But unfortunately, you know, like I said, writing a musical or a play is like its own animal, and that can be really hard. And, you know,
so much goes into it, though. And a lot of times it isn't just having a good story. It's the timing of it. It's finding the right audience. Mm-hmm. It is the infighting. It sounds like there was a lot of inner turmoil within this show. Exactly. And that will always play outside of the backstage area. Always.
Yep.
Same with 2x2. You know, Danny Kaye was kind of a jerk to his co-stars, and it showed on stage.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you have it.
Thank you
all so much for listening. Check out Home Sweet Homer.
Yeah.
And that's it for me.
All right. Yay.
Bye. Bye. Thank you for listening to our podcast, Theater Geeks Anonymous. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at
TGABWay and on Facebook at Theater Geeks Anonymous.
And if you want to tell us how much you love us, or you have a great story about one of the shows we've talked about, drop us a note at
TGABWay@gmail.com. You can also support us by going to patreon.com/TGABWAY. Until next time, geeks!
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.